Welcome to Reach For It Radio Show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We're so glad you're joining us today. We have a really interesting show that you are going to want to share with your friends and probably listen to a few times, because we have Sharon Wyeth with us today, and I will go into her background in a minute before I bring her on. But the question that Sharon and I have for you today is, what does online dating have in common with spiritual teachers, those spiritual gurus? Well, let us tell you what they have in common, and that's the scam. There are a lot of scammers out there, and Sharon has a lot of great information to share with us today, and it's going to be a really fun topic and also educational. Sharon has been on the show before, and for those of you who are not familiar with her, Sharon Wyeth graduated from the University of Redlands with a Bachelor of Science degree in mathematics. And she also earned her Master of Arts degree in Education Administration with an emphasis in math. She taught for the Department of Defense, teaching math overseas for many years throughout her career, as well as other teaching administration, and also she was a high school principal. But since then, Sharon has developed a science called the Science of Namology, and she has many books on this topic, training programs. If you want more information about Sharon Wyeth and the work that she does to change the world, please check out her website, knowthename.com. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Christina. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, thank you. I just have so much fun doing shows with you, Sharon. And for those of you listening, and if you didn't catch Sharon's prediction show for 2015, you might want to check it out on the BBS homepage, Reach For It Radio, because she gave us great predictions. And Sharon, today we're going to talk about scammers. So I know that you've written articles about this. You have a lot of information on the topic. So I'm going to just turn it over to you and tell us some things to look for and what's out there on the dating scene and the spiritual guru teachers that are out there scamming us.
Okay, well, I thought we'd do first the scamming on the internet, because a lot of people say they're finding success on internet dating, and then others try it and go, oh my goodness, you know, this is horrible. So these are things to look for on online dating, and you're going to find that they're not that different than when you're going to a guru and what to look for. So the first one is the vague profile. You start with what's stated on the internet set. Scammers often are not specific in what they're looking for in a mate. You know, in other words, they'll take anything. They're not specific. Those of us that have been around a while, we know what we're looking for. We know the qualities that are important to us. And that internet scammer just puts down, you know, anybody of any age and anybody of any height and anybody of any race and anybody, just anybody type of thing that could, so everybody would fit into their qualifications. And so everybody else, when they're doing the internet dating, and if you dated a while, you say, hey, I like people taller than me, or maybe I don't mind people shorter than me, but you're going to have a preference, and you're going to have a preference on, you know, their education, and you're going to have a preference, you know, about all the normal things that we ask on a first date, you know? So a very vague profile, or you can't find a lot about their background. Okay, and people are all over the internet today. And if you go and look at them on the internet and you can't find them and there's not stuff there, that's a good hint. That's also a good hint when you're looking for a guru. They should be on the internet. They should be taping their sessions with you to say, yes, you can go back and look and check it later. If they're not taping it, I'm really questioning, what's the accuracy weight? Why don't you want me to have a copy of this? Okay, second one is, he loves you sight unseen. I love you is a statement that everybody wants to hear, but how do you know if it's real? Charlatans tell you that they love you before they've even met you in person. How many times have you talked to somebody on the phone and thought something, and then you meet them in person and there's no charisma, you know? Or they used a fake picture, and now for some reason, whatever, you're just so totally turned off. You know, who knows? But "I love you" is such a catchphrase because everybody wants to be loved. And so I would say, really think about how long of time went by before they said that. And have they met you yet in person? Because if not, it's just something to wheel you in. And I always say, how desperate are you? You know, you've got to love yourself first.
Well, that's a good point, because I actually met my husband right when internet dating was kind of taking off. So I don't have much experience with it. But I have friends who are younger who have, you know, experienced it, and even older friends that are now getting into the dating scene. And they'll tell me stories about having an online relationship first. And they're saying they love each other. I'm like, you haven't met the guy yet. What if he is a total liar about everything? And they're texting and they're emailing, but they're not meeting. And so I think that's a really good point you've made.
I think you need to meet within the first week, first month, definitely. You know, if you're going to be internet dating, you say, hey, I can be in your area, or I'm going to your area for this other thing, and we could just get together for lunch, or we could just get together briefly. And if they make an excuse why they can't, and they make an excuse twice, that's it. They're scamming. Because if not, why, if you're so attracted to this person, would you not want to go meet them in person?
Right. I agree.
You know, so anyway, my next one was too much too fast. It's the other part of the "I love you" scam. And he has something like, oh, something in me shifted and I love you. Or, I think I found my soulmate. I mean, we all want that, but he's playing on desires, you know, instead of facts and reality, you know. And how can you know someone well enough to truly love you in the way you want to be loved and to spend the rest of their life with you when he's only known you less than a month?
Right.
You know, you don't know how somebody's going to react in an emergency. You don't know if they're really going to be there for you, or what, you know, what scares them away. Or anyway, you need to know them sometime. The next thing on internet dating is going offline. There's a reason scammers wish for you to contact them directly via a private email and not to use the messaging service. Okay, you're using a dating site to protect your privacy and help you avoid scammers. And the minute they say, you know, hey, I've not only known you a week, but let's go through and go offline, you know, and definitely you don't want to give them any information about you, you know, anything solid until you've met them in person and really start to know them and know what their values are. You don't want to say where you live. You don't want to say how much money you make. You know, that's another one. Shortly after the introduction, the person will ask about your financials as they're looking to find out what kind of person they're dealing with. In other words, are they really wishing to find out if you're worth their time to scam? Do you have financial resources? The people that I know that have money, they're really low-key about it. They don't brag about it. They don't advertise it. And the majority of millionaires, if you read any of those books about, you know, what it takes or commonalities of millionaires, they're the ones driving the middle of the line car. They're the ones in the middle of the line house because they don't have to advertise what they have. So if somebody's trying to show you a picture that could be fake on the internet and it shows their wealth, they're really saying, oh, you're going to want me because I have money. And who wants to be known for that, or who wants to be wanted for that? Don't you want to be wanted for who you are? So if they're showing you something that would indicate they have great wealth in a picture, they're really saying, you know, I want those people that consider money a key element, you know, so I'm going to attract the money hungry. And therefore, when they create the scam and they want money, you're going to think, oh, they'll be able to pay me back. It's just a short-term thing. So people with money don't advertise it, and they don't show pictures, and they don't show off.
And that's a good point, Sharon, because I don't know a lot about this, but I know that there's some free dating sites and then there's some that you pay for. And if I think a scammer who's showing a yacht or a, you know, a sports car in front of a Ferrari, or, you know, they're going to pay for the millionaire matchmaker to find them someone. They're not going to be on one of those free sites anyway.
That's a really good point. And you don't know if that picture's real or fake. I mean, they could have asked a real estate person to go show them this fancy house, and while they're outside by the pool in the back of the house, take a picture of themselves, you know, like a selfie. And,
yeah.
And feel like that's their place when it's not. Or, you know, you can go down to any boat ramp area and get a picture taken in front of a fancy boat. You know, you don't
exactly.
You know, but when they can't meet for whatever reason, you know, I always look at it as, why can't they meet? You know, why can't they meet us in person? You know, they need to be able to do that. The other thing is, when we're talking about the fake photos, ask you to have the person send you a picture of themselves that's not online, and ask them to send it to you through the snail mail. Give them a PO address or a work address. Do not give them your home address. But say, you know, I would just really like to have a good picture of you. Would you mind sending me one? If they send the same pictures that are already online, it means that those are not their pictures. They don't have any other pictures.
You know, interesting.
What a good way of saying, okay, wait a minute. And anybody can manufacture pictures. Like they could say, oh, my aunt is sick, and have a picture of somebody in the hospital bed that's sick. You can find those online everywhere.
What about the pictures that are 20 years old? They don't look like that anymore.
That's why you want to meet them in person. You know, the other thing is, he wants to borrow money from you. He says, this is how much, you know, I am just in a problem in a spot, and I just need this temporary help. Okay, if you were really in a temporary spot and you needed help, are you not going to go to mom and dad, relatives, really good friends that you already know first, that trust you and that know you? Why would you go to somebody you just met unless you had no intention of paying them back?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I could never imagine bringing that up to anyone I barely knew.
Exactly. You're going to go to the really ones that you trust, and you're also going to be embarrassed to go, oh my God, I've got myself in this situation. Help me out. You're not going to advertise it to somebody you just met and you thinking that you love them and you want them to love you back, and then you say, man, I can't manage my own finances.
Because you want to impress them. So why would you ask them for money? That's a huge red flag.
Huge red flag. Okay. And they play phone games. It's like, first off, I don't recommend calling an online suitor without having met him first. But if you do, your phone identifies the calling number. You know, so if they call you and it says what their number is, there's a great website on the internet, and all you have to do is put their phone number into your search engine, and it lets you know if other people have gotten scam calls from that number. Or if you call them back on that number, just saying, oh, I was just going to answer the question that you asked me, or, you know, make up some excuse on why you're calling them back after they've just called. If they don't answer, it goes to an automatic voicemail. It could be a hotel phone. It could be anything, you know, if you can't get a hold of them. So I call that playing phone games. And a lot of them will try to contact you for a week or two, and then they have this big opportunity overseas, and they're going to be overseas, and then something happens, like the taxi cab guy rips them off. Now, I've lived in China, and that's happened to me, so it's a real situation that does happen. But you solve it there. You don't solve it by having people send you money from some other country. But they come into some kind of a jam, and then they need money. Or they're saying, look at this great big opportunity, you know, and the airport, you know, I had to check my bag and I put my money in the bag. And you're saying, nobody does that. You know, how stupid is that? We all know you keep that part with you. That's why you have a carry-on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Use common sense when they come up with a crazy story.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hello, if I was in that situation, what would I do? I wouldn't call somebody I just met. You know, I wouldn't ask somebody I just met. Anyway, the other thing is avoiding questions. Like, how tall are you? Or what do you do for a living? Okay. Or if you can ask them, like they say they have a college degree, you go, oh, where'd you go? You know, and you ask, I have literally, I did online dating for 2 weeks. I said, I want to know what all my friends are talking about. I just need a two-week experience. Okay? And literally, I went into alumni sites of colleges when somebody said they'd gone to a college and went to see if their name was there with the year that they said they graduated. And when somebody, and I go, yeah, right, you're just making it up, and they just insist. I have even written to the colleges, and you can do this. You can write to the alumni association of a college and say, did this person graduate from your school? So I would say ask for different facts, do it in a nice way, and check their answers. Are they telling you the truth? Like, you can check University of Redlands, yes, I graduated. Azusa Pacific College, yes, I have my MA. You know, you can check. That's all recorded someplace. So I would check on the facts and see if they're really being honest with you.
And that's a good way to check on something neutral, like the, you know, what university they attended. Because if they would lie about that, then they're going to lie about everything. So if, you know, they can't pass a sniff test on their education, I think that's a good one.
And you need to meet him in person. There was one person that I said, oh, all right, I'll go out with him. I'll meet him someplace, right? So we met at for this movie theater. And I think, why would you take somebody to a movie theater on your first date? Because you don't talk during a movie theater. You're just sitting there watching a movie. You know, and if you're wanting to get to know that person, you're going to take them someplace where you can talk, you know, and you can have a conversation. But anyway, that's beside the point. The other thing he did was he went up and he said, two senior tickets, please. You know, and so I thought, okay, this could be an honest mistake. And I said, are you aware that I don't qualify as a senior yet? You know, I'm getting there. But are you aware of that? And he says, oh, yeah, I knew that, but they don't. And I thought, if you're willing to gyp a movie theater of a dollar or two, where else are you willing to be dishonest? I mean, that was my last date with them. Absolutely last date. It was like, okay, red flag.
That is a red flag.
Yep. And why would you want to invest more time with somebody if you already have seen red flags? I say the minute you start seeing red flags, you cut it short. Don't waste your time.
Well, you know, what about all those married guys? And I'm sure there's married women too. I'm not trying to, you know, beat up on the guys here. But a lot of online dating is just, you know, men wanting to hook up and they're not telling you they're married. You know, what about, how would you investigate that?
You go online again. It's fabulous what's online. And for 99 cents or to $1.99, depending on what website you are, you can put in their information and you can find out. You can find out marriages, divorces, credit ratings. You know, if you're going to be serious with somebody in today's world, I'd check them out. The minute you start getting interested and you think, wow, I think I like this guy, you know, I'd like to get to know him better, I'd check him out. The next thing to really watch for is I have found throughout my life, guys that come on, and I give a lot of speeches everywhere, and a lot of people try to come on to me, and it's like they use really lovely speech. You know, they say stuff that's filled with love, and the letters are written, you know, as if they came out of a romantic novel or something. Or they're incredibly complimentary, and you think, you don't know me. You know, I mean, we will say one or two compliments to people that we don't know very well. You know, like how often have we said, oh, I really like your purse or your shoes or your whatnot, or that was a great speech. But we don't elaborate and go on forever. We're not trying to build their ego. We're just trying to acknowledge that we really appreciated what they shared. And when they use really lovely speech, like it came out of a romantic novel, I always go, yeah, right, which books have you read and memorized the passages? You know, the other thing they try to do, like in my two-week experience, one of the guys, I just started laughing, and I thought, this is great research for how they do scams on the internet. And he literally, when I said, you know, you're trying to scam me, I mean, I just called him on it, and he says, what? And he got really upset and really mad, and then he attempted to make me try to feel guilty that I would even ask him if this, you know, this he was scamming. and how could you say that and everything else. And I thought, you know, people use guilt only when they want to control somebody else. And that's a really good one, too, when you're looking at gurus, you know, and you're wanting to study from somebody. If they're trying to guilt you into something, you know, or if they're trying to put pressure on you for whatever reason to make a decision now and today, you know, it's like, what's the hurry?
Well, and I would think that someone respectful of the other person, whether it's a male or female, on the online dating would understand that there's a lot of people that are dishonest. And if someone asked a few extra questions or was, you know, really being cautious, that they would respect that and understand that's kind of the nature of online dating. Don't take it personally. I'm still getting to know this person, instead of guilting you or being defensive.
Absolutely. Other things is often they will be a foreigner or have a foreign accent because they think that that's appealing. And I'm not saying that all foreigners are scammers, most definitely. I'm just saying that it seems to be something that's common, because then they can make up this, I'm going back overseas, I have this wonderful opportunity, and you think it could be real because it's where they came from or where they say they came from. I also found that a lot of people online have two first names that were the scammers. And I think that was just really interesting. I thought, they're not using a last name. They don't want to be discovered. But if they ask you to send them money, they will often say, could you send it to my friend? Well, that friend is really their real name, because they have to show ID to pick it up if you do send them money. You know, I mean, I've been overseas. I've lived overseas for 6 years in three different countries, China, Japan, and Germany, all total. And I mean, I understand how money goes back and forth, and you can't use a fake ID. They're really, they double check and triple check because it's money that's being transferred. So if they ask you to send money and then they ask you to a friend's name, they're really saying, this is my real name, I just didn't want you to know it, and it's fake. Okay?
Okay. I hope everybody listening to this call never sends any money to anybody. Oh, because really, that's
what they're after.
That's, yeah.
And if nobody sent money, then it wouldn't work, and they'd have to figure out something else to do for their living. Another one is that they don't call often, they'd rather write. Okay? Hmm. And if the person makes promises that are unrealistic, I always say you got to walk your talk. You know.
What about the ones that will never see you on nights and weekends? Like Friday night, I remember that even before online dating, and I would always, that was a test for me, because it was either they had a girlfriend or a wife, or, you know, why wouldn't they date me during normal dating times on, you know.
Right. That's a really good point, Christina. It's like, and how come you can't call them after a while? You know, or they don't want to take your calls, or they're very abrupt on the phone and they get you off the phone. You know, because I don't recommend that women call men. But after a while, it's like there's agreements that are worked out. Like a dear friend of mine would say, when you get through square dancing on Wednesday night, because it varies within a half hour, give me a call. You know, so if you're calling, it needs to be like prearranged. Or if you called for some reason and they try to get you off the phone really fast, if it happens once, oh yeah, but if it happens a few times, that's a reason to be really suspicious.
Well, these are some great tips, Sharon. We have a short break. When we come back, we're not only going to talk about watching out for online scammers, we're going to talk about gurus and what to look out for those false light gurus out there. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I am Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I have developed a proprietary system that reveals accurate insight into someone's personality traits called Namology Science. This science of unlocking the secrets hidden in a person's name has become so popular that I am offering a Namology Science coaching certification program. Join our international community of certified Namology coaches. Go to knowthename.com for details.
Have you been told you should write a book? Do you need a little help getting started? Or maybe your manuscript is already written and you require some fine-tuning before you publish. Big Country Publishing offers writing coaching packages that are custom-tailored to you. Contact Big Country Publishing today so they can help you to get your book and message out to the world. Learn more at www.bigcountrypublishing.com. Would you like a tool to clear your energy field and raise your vibration instantly? Solfeggio Sound Healing from Earthly Frequencies is a new CD created to bring you earthly healing vibrations combined with higher dimensional galactic energy. Use this sound healing for meditation, massage therapy, releasing negativity, and astral travel. Solfeggio Sound Healing by Ted Winslow. Now available on iTunes and Amazon.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Sharon Wyeth. Sharon, you gave a lot of great tips for the online scammers. Before we switch gears into the spiritual gurus, do you have anything else you'd like to cover for those people out there dating and they're on the internet and trying to meet the special person?
Well, I really think if you write yourself a list of what's important to you and how does a normal meeting with somebody go? You know, what's normal? When you meet somebody, how does that take place? And what are the first steps? And what do you normally talk about first? And if you write all those things down, including what do you not talk about? You know, you don't talk about finances. You don't talk about family very much other than I have four sisters or I have whatever. You know, you don't go into details. And so if you write those down on what normally happens and you think about it, then if that conversation doesn't go generally in the same patterning, it's a reason to be suspicious.
Well, that's a really good way to stay grounded and pay attention to, you know, what's really going on and don't get caught up in this really handsome guy is giving me attention or this really beautiful woman, you know, is giving me attention and losing focus of, you know, of what's the reality of dating.
Right. And it's not that I want to say I look for those red flags, but when one of them hits, it's like I sit up and I really pay attention. And by the time you get the second red flag, you ought to be ready to walk out the door. And if you're still around for the third, after that, if you need to be gone. You know, you don't want to invest time and energy in a person who's not going to respect you and not going to honor you.
Well, that's just like, I remember, Sharon, when I was in the dating scene and I had not had children yet and I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And if a guy was not interested in at least exploring the idea of having children someday, I just wouldn't waste my time with him because, you know, that's what I really wanted. And a lot of people thought I was too harsh with my detailed list, but I think it actually served me very well because I did get exactly, you know, the husband that I was looking for. We have two beautiful kids. And if I wasn't, you know, looking for red flags or picky from the beginning, I would have settled and not been happy.
I was just going to say that when people settle, you know, it may solve a temporary need or a want or a desire, but it's a temporary need or desire, and therefore it's a temporary solution.
And really, you know, that's what you do for a living. You empower people with the different work that you do, Sharon, and the books that you write. And that's what this show is all about, is empowering people. And we hope that you guys listening to this show, if you are in that dating scene, you know, stay true to yourself because there is someone out there right for you. And Sharon made a prediction for those single people out there that this is the year. So get out there and look for that special person, but keep the bar high, right, Sharon?
Oh, you can always lower it, but once it's low, you can't raise it.
Well, okay. So Now, what? Tell us a little bit about what you have to share about these spiritual gurus, these, you know, self-help, new age, metaphysical teachers, these, some people call them the false light gurus because they act like they're all of the light, but they're really not, and they're really scamming people.
Well, I call them the wannabes. And sometimes I don't think that they all think they're scamming people. I just think that they want to have that as their gift, and they want to be able to do that so badly that they're looking at that instead of what did God have planned for them in this lifetime? What are their gifts that they came to share? We all have gifts to share. They happen to be written in your name, which is what I really work on a lot. But we all have gifts and we all have challenges. And to me, when a wannabe goes, and they can be a great advertiser or a great manifester of getting the word out there and whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's their talent and that's their gift. It just means that they're better at marketing. Okay? And so what I have found, and I've always teased my friends that one of these days I'm going to write a book on the great psychics that you've never heard of. Because we don't need to advertise. You know, you're not going to see an ad. You're not going to see whatnot. What you are going to see from them, some of them, is great giveaways. Like you see YouTubes where everybody can get information. And yes, they're going to plug themselves because that's just the name of the game. But they're giving away valuable information for free on the internet. It's not all about money. Okay? And it's information that people can use and apply right away. One of the things that we were talking about earlier was empowerment. And when somebody says, well, you know what, you've got curses on you and I can get rid of those curses, or you've got this or that and I can do that, and I don't know if anybody else can. It's this, you really need just me. You know, that and is really saying, no, this person's all about ego and not about service. I mean, I look at the friends that I know that are incredibly talented. Like you have Bernard Morin on your show, which is one of my good friends, and they're so talented, and they don't ever say, I'm the only one that can do this. And in fact, if you come to any of us and you say, this is what I'm looking for, we say, if that's not our gift, we say, you know what, I know somebody who's really good that can serve you better. Let me pass a name and number to you. We recommend others.
That is so important, Sharon. Because the people who are the true spiritual teachers will be very humble with their gifts, and they will not be the one out there saying they have all the answers.
Right.
They might be good at one thing that they're really known for, but they don't try to replace everybody.
Exactly. And there's a feeling of there's enough for everybody. And the real teachers out there, we really want to empower you so that, as I always say, that we work ourselves out of a job. You know, it was kind of like when I was a kid and I started tutoring, and I realized I was a math tutor, and I started, and I had a natural gift for the teaching. And pretty soon they wouldn't need me anymore. I'd teach them how to read the book. I'd teach them how to ask questions and where the patterns were. And pretty soon they could figure it out for themselves, and they didn't need me to tutor them. And I thought, you know, my reward for doing a good job is not having a job.
Right. No, that's true. And I think people who are really working in integrity do that. I've referred so much business away, you know, but it wasn't a good fit energetically. And I knew that. And I wasn't going to go against my spiritual guidance just to make extra money, because I see the bigger picture of us all collaborating together. We're all cooperating. It's not competition. There's enough to go around. And I think that's a really important point that you're making here.
So somebody who's really following their own spiritual path, and I think we all need to walk our talk, is that we are all helping you over a dilemma or educating you on something that you don't know, so that you can now be self-empowered and not need us. Okay, or not need as often. And I always watch for the ones that say, you know, you're going to need to call me again in 6 weeks. Or they want you to make another appointment before you're done with the first one. Or they're taking your time and you're paying them by the time, and they're using it to sell you on other services they make. I tried someone who was very, very well known, that was on Coast to Coast. and he did Vedic astrology. And I'm fascinated by Vedic astrology because I'm understanding the Western, but I don't know the Vedic. So I thought, oh, I'd like to try this and see what's the difference. I paid for an hour and a half appointment, which was over $300, which to me is just incredibly a lot. And when I came back and deleted, because I recorded it, and I deleted all of his advertisements on other things he had not even spoken to me for 22 minutes. I was appalled. So your time is your time with them. They're not talking about themselves. Okay? I think that's really highly important. Okay? The other thing is, some of them will say, you know, you'll miss out if you don't do this. Everybody's going to know this piece of information and you won't. You know, it's a scarcity philosophy. Instead of, this information is abundant out in the universe and I'm happy to share it with you. And whenever you're ready, or if you're not, or if you get it from me or somebody else, you know?
That's a big one. That's I see a lot of classes like that saying, oh, there's new information in every class, and if you're not here to receive it, then you miss out. And, you know, people who paid thousands of dollars to already be certified, they're repeating the same thing that they just paid for 2 months ago because there's new information. And it's like, how is that information really helping your, you know, if it was that good before, why do you have to repeat it in 2 months?
Well, but there's always learning of new information. But I see a lot of people resell the same thing with a different title, and they're telling you the same thing.
Well, it's usually just a new group of people that have all the same issues, love, money, health. So is it really new information? You know, I mean, if the tools really work, does it matter if you go 5 times a year or 1 time a year? You know, right. That's what, I guess that's what really gets my goat.
Yeah, when, it shouldn't matter. And on that, I want to say that some people that are very, very valid in their programs, it's like they have an on-learning, growing thing. Like I know in my certification program, in Brennan Bouchard's, in Clint Arthur's, in Bernard's, Morin's programs, all of us, for the ones that take our programs like once a month, you know, we're online. Okay, guys, any questions that have come up? And here's what else we've discovered since we last talked to you. You know, because they purchase the program, they get that online constant updating, constant whatnot. We don't have to charge them again for it. We're willing to share because they're already into the program and we want them to also be able to go out and share and be updated. We don't want them teaching old information if we found out something else that's really cool.
Well, and I think that's important too. So please know that what I brought up previously, it wasn't about sharing new information as the teacher, you know, expands the curriculum. That's different. It's, I think there's a lot of people out there, you know, just wanting to figure out how much money they can get out of each student. And there's a lot of these gurus that are, you know, they'll flat out say, I only want people stupid enough to show up who will pay me money. You know, they brag about stuff like that. Or I have a lot of money. I heard a spiritual teacher, Sharon, say this. I fell out of my chair. I was there free at this class. So thank goodness I hadn't paid for it. But she said, I have a lot of money. It's just all in your wallets.
Yeah.
She said that in front of the class. And I'm thinking, these people paid and they're staying. Like I'm sitting, you know, dumbfounded that they're that blatant about wanting to take people's money.
Well, a lot of people have excessive fees. There is no magic. Save your money. You could buy a book from the same person or about the same topic from other people, and it would save you it could save you up to thousands of dollars. There is no magic if it's not reasonable, if it's not a reasonable cost. I mean, I have people telling me all the time, especially my students for Namology, you need to charge more because then we could charge what you're charging. And I said, I don't have to be the one earning the most. I'm charging so that people can still afford me, and I don't want the karma of putting people in debt to get the information when they really are hungry to grow. You know, I don't need that on me, you know. And so if you want to charge more than me, charge more than me. You know, and it also depends on where you live. You know, if you're living in a really expensive place like New York City, your fees are going to be higher than if you're living someplace that doesn't have those kind of expenses. And so I always look at excessive fees. The other thing I look at is when they say you can buy it now for a discount, and if you don't, there may not be room for you. You know, you've got to get this right now because there's not room for you. I'm going to tell you, if there's not room for you in a particular class, they're going to just enroll you in the next class. You know, you're still going to get enrolled. There doesn't have to be pressure. There's always like another class. If it has value, there'll be another class. Okay. The other thing that gets me is when they say, I'm channeling Jesus, or I'm channeling Maitreya, or I'm channeling some other big name. How do you know? My team says, we don't need to say who we are. In fact, I worked with them for years before they started introducing themselves to me, and I still don't know all 17's names out of the group that I work with. And I just look at it and I think, they have to prove themselves by their word and by their work today. They're not using unearned authority by using somebody else's name who's dead that you cannot prove, or you have no inclination if it's the truth, to use and say, oh, you want to hear Jesus, so you're going to come hear this one who's channeling Jesus. I just say, you know, it's my team. It's the ones that show up when I go to work, and this is the information they're giving. And they have to prove themselves every day, you know, every moment that we're working, because they're not using unearned authority.
Well, and it's funny, you know, there was this one channeler that was channeling an archangel, and this was years ago, Sharon, and this person was wanting to break all these laws, because I have a publishing company. And so a lot of times I'll meet these spiritual guru types, and they'll want to do product with me or an event, something of that nature. And I follow the laws by the book. And I'm thinking, if you're channeling such a high being of light and integrity and love, why would you be blasting me because I want to file the correct tax paperwork? I was like, I don't want to be a part of this then, you know, and I was accused by this individual for being too much in the 3D reality and not spiritual enough to work with this individual. And I thought, wait a minute,
that's
using the guilt that you said in the first segment.
Yeah, it's the guilt tripping. The other thing, if you're going to somebody, ask, what new material have they brought forth? If they're really getting it from spirit, it's new. And it may not be everything new, because if they're doing a private with you, you may not need that material, but they've brought through some kind of new material, or they've re-explained it in such a way that it's so clear now, it feels new because now people can grasp the concept. It's like I look at Joseph John Dewey as a fabulous example. See, these are the people that are out there doing great service that, like I said, my friends that you've never heard of, that are so busy with so many people that do hear from word of mouth. And that's always a good thing, that you know that they're more authentic if it's word of mouth is how they're making their living. But they're bringing through new material that hasn't been brought through previously. If they're just reiterating what's already there, like how many people jumped on the law of attraction, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. And then they didn't even give all of it. They only gave two parts out of the four. They said, you know, you think about it and it's just going to show up. Well, I can think about a car all day long, but that doesn't mean somebody's going to go drop it off at my doorstep. Then what they didn't say is you have to take action towards it. And then what they didn't say is if you're not grateful for it, you don't get to keep it. You know, I mean, when I was listening to all this from The Secret and everything else for the law of attraction, I thought, yeah, but you're only giving half of it, so you're going to make all these people disappointed and then think that this is bogus because you're only giving half of the whole thing instead of empowering people to really use that law and use it to their own benefit.
Well, Sharon, we have so much more to talk about, and this is great information. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about what to look out for and some ways you can discern from these scammers.
When it comes to publishing, there is a difference. At Big Country Publishing, they work with you on a personal level to create a custom publishing package that's tailored to your needs as an author. Their design team and experts in the industry will contribute to you to create the book that you've always dreamed of. Isn't it time to go big? Contact them today at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Do you feel stuck? Do you feel empty or lost? Have you tried to clear what's not working from your life and have the same issues coming up over and over? There is hope. A heart and soul healing session can retrieve your soul and heal your heart so you can feel love, joy, peace, and abundance. Contact Claudia McNeely today at www.askclaudia.com and feel better now.
Hello, my name is Ted Winslow, and as a professional singer, songwriter, musician, and audio engineer, I have worked with voice coaching for many years. I created a new CD, Vocalist Scales and Intervals, for my clients who are looking for an easy and affordable way to improve the quality of their voice. So, if you're in broadcasting, public speaking, or in the music industry, you'll benefit from the voice exercises. Just load it into your MP3 player and you're ready to go. Vocalist Scales and Intervals by Ted Winslow is now available on iTunes, Amazon, and BigCountryPublishing.com.
Sharon Wyeth. Sharon, I love how you talked about some of these gurus and some of the tricks they play with the guilt trips and the, you know, you don't want to miss out and charging these huge prices. You know, there's some really good, famous spiritual teachers that you can spend $100 or $200 for a ticket to be at an all-day seminar, right? And they've and then you hear of some no-name person and that, you know, claims they're, you know, this great spiritual channel of whatever master they decide, and they're charging $1,000 for a day, you know, and I think that's another thing to pay attention to.
You know, to me, it's just, does it make common sense? You know, and the teaching has to be in harmony with common sense. Because if you look at it, everything we know spiritually is exemplified in nature. And if animals don't do it that way, or naturally it doesn't occur that way, it doesn't make sense then that all of a sudden it should work this way instead of that way.
Well, sometimes I think they also tell you what you want to hear. You don't, you know, people don't want to hear that to make more money, they have to actually get to work. And hard work pays off, you know, like actually working your business 8 hours a day and not 1 hour a day and just sitting around, like you said, visualizing that you'll get the new car.
Yeah, you have to put that into action.
Right, and people don't want to hear that. A lot of these spiritual scammers will say, you know, you just take this $2,000 energy work body class and then you can receive millions of dollars because you're blocking receiving. And it's like, well, maybe that, you know, $2,000 could have been better spent on furthering their education or investing in their business to grow their business.
Well, it's just like I've heard people say, I can open your chakras for you. That's dangerous. You need to know how to do it yourself and at the rate you're doing it yourself so that you don't hurt yourself in the process. And I don't really believe that somebody can do that for us. I don't believe that somebody can clear something for us if that's the lesson we came to learn. They can show us ways of clearing it. They can let us know what's in our way of clearing it. They can get help, educate us with tools on how to clear it. But you got to do the work yourself. That's what karma is all about.
Well, and it's a free will universe. So, you know, don't give your power away to these people. You know, keep your power and you have to do it yourself. Like you said, I wholeheartedly agree. And I've taken 20 plus years of energy work classes and spiritual classes. And, you know, I've seen a lot of good things out there, but I've seen a lot of scams as well. And I hope that people you know, appreciate that we're having this conversation to say, hey, you know what? You could be a very spiritual person and not fall for the guru's scams, because they'll say that to you. They'll say you're not spiritual enough
to handle
the information.
You know, that just makes me run that much faster out the door. The other thing is, when you get through with a reading for somebody, there's no guilting, there's no tripping. They can say things that are really hard to hear, and they, if it's a true person, they're saying it with absolutely no judgment. It's like, oh, look what we noticed, and this is the next thing that's up that you came to clear, and here's how you can go about it, or here's other pieces of information that would help you. But the thing is, at the end of a reading, you ought to feel good.
I agree with that 100%, because I do intuitive coaching for people for business coaching, and it's always positive for the highest good. And there's always, you know, and I know you do this work. I've experienced your work with the Light Keepers, Sharon. And I think that is so important.
You know, occasionally somebody will call me back and say, I felt this way. You know, I didn't feel good at the end of a session. And so then I look at it and I say, I'm not up to interpreting what they said to you. However, is what they said bad? Because I know it's not. Or do you just still carrying guilt and unforgiveness of yourself in those areas, and therefore you think everybody's picking on you on those areas when they're not, they're trying to help you?
Right, because that could trigger something in someone, even though it was a positive
reading. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And every once in a while, I always say, man, if that happens, you call me right away. We'll go back in and re-elaborate some more and figure out why you felt that was a negative, because I know my team doesn't do that.
You know. And, you know, if they ask about your finances, whether it's a psychic reading or a spiritual class, that's the same red flag that you had, Sharon, with those online dating scams.
Exactly.
They should never ask that.
No, they should never ask that. It's just like I for years went out as a buyer for different people I knew that were quite wealthy and didn't feel good going out buying clothes or furniture or whatnot. Because everybody would recognize them, and then they all think they have a lot of money, and the prices would go up, or they got pushed to buy more, whatever, and they were uncomfortable. And I would go out in the raggiest, tattiest clothes and go look, and then once I decided what would really look nice in their houses and would take pictures of it and go back, then they'd come in just to purchase. You know, but I did the same thing because I thought nobody's going to think, you know, I'm worth bugging because I don't look like I have anything.
Well, you know, I have a lot of psychics that want to be on the radio show, Sharon, and if it's someone I'd never heard of, I'll tell them, you know, give me a sample reading so I can test your work, because I don't want to just put anyone on the show. And there was one gal, and I was testing her because I had never met her before, and said, so what is my, you know, what do my investments look like in the next 12 months? Does it look... Now, I just wanted to hear what Spirit had to say. If Spirit said, hey, you need to take a look at it and kind of diversify more. Or, hey, you need to, you know what I mean? There could have been a good reading on that general question without me giving details.
And investments could be nothing to do with finances. You may need to invest more time and energy into something, or you need to develop a relationship more that would be... you know, that would be helpful. Or investments doesn't necessarily mean finances.
Right. It could be invest more time in your business doing this, because I see that there's abundance coming if you focus on that piece or whatever. But anyway, this individual went laser focused, started asking all kinds of personal questions about my investments. I mean, I felt violated with the questions, and of course I didn't answer it. And, you know, and I'm like, ooh, this is a red flag. And that person ended up really showing their true colors. But that, I think that's a big one too, that, you know, don't share your financials with these people, because they'll actually figure out how to charge you more or convince you to, you know, go on the Hawaiian receiving money trip, right? that they charge you $10,000 for, and it's, you know, just you paying for their vacation so they can write it off. So, yeah, there's a lot of scammers out there. I would have to say that I see more scammers than quality. What about you?
Well, I just say there's a lot of wannabes out there, and you know, some of the real true ones had to start as a wannabe to develop their gifts also. You know, so it's really learning how to develop your own discernment. I, for years, was so curious about everything and different perspectives and not limiting myself that I tried almost everything. I mean, I started very young, and instead of getting presents as a kid, I would say, give me a reading with somebody, you know, or let me go hear this person speak, or give me another book on spirituality. And when I was growing up, there were very few authors on spirituality. It was the time of Edgar Cayce and Ruth Montgomery, and Jane Roberts came later. There were just very, very few, and we were so hungry for that material, because I started reading, and I read the entire Bible when I was 13. It was like I could not get enough, and I read almost 300 books on Jesus because I so wanted to get to know this man. And then I read Nine Faces of Christ, which was like the 287th book or something. In a way, it was in that category. And when I read Nine Faces of Christ, I remember thinking, that's it. That's how it was. That's how it is. That's the part I forgot. That's it. That's it. But that's not the other part I forgot. And when I got through with that book, I thought, oh my gosh, I had to have been there at that time, because how else would I have known reading all these other books when I kept saying, that wasn't it, that wasn't it, that wasn't it. And then just to so recognize. And Eugene Whitworth has just 5 incredible books out that I would recommend to anybody. And I mean, if you really want to know the truth, and anything he couldn't prove, he traveled the world, and at his age in that time period, it was very hard to travel the world. We didn't have airplanes and everything when he started. And for him to go and prove, and he learned how to read the ancient languages so that he could go find an ancient text everywhere where it said something, or else he would not put it in his book, even though he channeled his books first, then he had to go prove what the channel said.
And wow, that's great. That's Eugene Whitworth. Is that correct for people out there writing it down?
Yeah, Dr. Eugene Whitworth, Nine Faces of Christ, Genesis, Children of Thoth. I mean, The First Christmas Tree. It's just, his books are just amazing. I would like to, if we have time, Christina, say some of the principles of discovery so that you can look at things with some discernment if you're having a hard time discerning. You and I develop our discernment.
We have one minute. If you can rattle off a few. Okay.
Well, let me give them the source. I was going to share a few of what Joseph John Dewey, J.J. Dewey, on his site, freeread.com, and then search for principles of discovery. And I have found his principles are so valuable to help people that are still developing their discernment versus you and I who paid for our discernment, finding out through good and bad and, you know, whatever, appropriate, inappropriate, until we could figure it out for ourselves.
Well, Sharon, this has been a delightful conversation. I'm sorry we ran out of time, and we can't wait to have you back very soon. If you want more information about Sharon Wyeth and her Namology Science and her other offerings, check out her site, knowthename.com. Thank you, Sharon.
Always a pleasure, Christina. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. We hope that this was a fun conversation and you guys get out there and use your discernment, whether it's online dating or if you go get a psychic reading or take a spiritual class. We hope that this was giving you a look at the side that you know that follow your gut, follow your heart, and you know what's right for you. So trust yourself and empower yourself. God bless and have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Reach For It Radio. Please join your host, Christina Winslow, live each Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio. Listen live or listen later. Subscribe for free on iTunes or Stitcher. Or connect with us on reachforitradio.com.